Greetings and welcome to the latest edition of the Entheogenic Evolution Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Martin, and I'm happy to have you with me today as I am joined by Victoria Wooshner, who, in addition to being one of the contributors to the facilitating 5-MeO-DMT anthology, is also the founder and president at 5, the director of education at Kaivalya Collective, and the head retreat leader at Tandava Retreats. And she joined me the other week to discuss her own entry into the world of 5-MeO-DMT, her emphasis on proper training and facilitation and integration and support, and all the work that she is doing across these different platforms of educating the public about 5-MeO-DMT and also making the experience available to others in a safe and secure environment. It was a pleasure to speak with Victoria, and I'm really happy to bring you this interview today. But of course, first, just a couple quick announcements before we get there. Would like to say thank you to James and Brooke, who have made their usual monthly contribution and support of the Entheogenic Evolution Podcast. Thank you very much, James and Brooke, for your ongoing and continued support. Also, a thank you to Peter, who made a small contribution via PayPal with the note of a tip for the tip jar. Thank you very much, Peter. It's very much appreciated. If you'd like to support this podcast, which is 100% listener-supported, just go to my personal webpage at martinball.net and use the PayPal link at the top right of the page, or sign up as a patron over at Patreon with a monthly contribution at your level of support that's comfortable for you, everywhere from $1 a month up to $100 a month. And at the $100 level, that gets you a one-hour check-in or consultation video call with me over the course of the month. And of course, a big thank you to everyone who's over there at Patreon. And I've had a few people sign up over the recent weeks at the top tier level to get that monthly one-hour check-in. I really appreciate your support. Couldn't do it without you guys. Thank you so much. Deeply appreciated. Just a quick note about the interview with Victoria. We did have a few audio transmission issues. There are a couple audio glitches over the course of the interview, but I didn't want to stop Victoria because she was definitely on a roll with everything that she was sharing. So we've got those in the interview. So just know that they're there. It's not you. It's not on your end. It was on our end. Just had some spotty internet transmission while we were recording. But other than that, it's a great interview. I think you'll really enjoy it. And of course, the full book of Facilitating 5-MeO-DMT is available. It's out there in paperback and in ebook, and you can find Victoria's contribution in there. And coming up in the coming weeks on the podcast, of course, I will be sharing more from the audiobook to the Entheological Paradigm 2021 edition. Of course, all of my audiobooks are available over at Audible, at Amazon, and the iBook store. And in between those selections from the Entheological Paradigm, I've got, oh my goodness, I've got Sean Manso, I've got Ray from Soiree, I've got Kat from Medicine People. I've got lots of great interviews that are already in the bank and just waiting to be released. So they'll be coming out over the coming weeks, kind of wrapping up the summer here at the Entheogenic Evolution Podcast. Anyway, that's enough announcements. Let's go ahead and get into the interview with Victoria. And of course, I'll put some of my music at the end. You can always find my music out there where music is available on the internet and also at martinball.bandcamp.com. And as always, I'm available for 30, 60, and 90-minute consultations to help you integrate your entheogenic experience, specializing but not limited to 5-MeO-DMT. You can find out more at nondualentheogenicintegration.com. Okay, here's the conversation with Victoria. Please enjoy. See you next week here on the Entheogenic Evolution Podcast. Okay, well, my guest this week, finally here on the Entheogenic Evolution Podcast, is Victoria Wooshner. And I just want to say whoosh, because I like that. I hope that's not insulting. But
I love it.
Oh, great. Victoria is, I'll just read through her various titles that she is currently carrying. She is founder and president at 5, F-I-V-E, director of education at Kaivalya Collective, and head retreat leader at Tandava Retreats. And And most important of all, she's one of the contributors to the facilitating 5-MeO-DMT anthology book, along with her partner, Joelle. And of course, that's a joke. I assume you're a lot busier with all these other things that you're doing. But Victoria, welcome to the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me here. It's an honor to be here, truly.
So, Victoria, I want to talk to you about all the various things that I just listed right there. But first, I want to do the usual, and this will be our little get-to-know-you section. You and I, we've had various communications. We've talked a little bit, but I don't know too much about you personally. So I would kind of like to start there, just kind of getting to know your story, how you got involved in this burgeoning psychedelic field of 5-MeO-DMT. And I'd be very curious if you'd be willing to share what your experience with 5-MeO has been and how you got inspired to really step up into this space and really take a leadership role of developing all these multifaceted programs and platforms. So let's start there.
Beautiful. I'd love to share. Yeah, you know, my beginnings with psychedelics were very interesting. I think, like so many of us, it began in more of a recreational fashion in my teenage years. And, you know, that was fun and it was interesting. But it wasn't until about 19 or 20 years old where I really got a taste of what psychedelics and entheogens were really about. And, you know, it was at this time where I went to Iquitos, I traveled to Peru, and I did the whole ayahuasca thing. I did a pretty profound amount of ayahuasca for my first time really sitting with any medicine ceremonially, which was seven ceremonies in 12 days. And it really peeled me inside out. And it switched the way that I was approaching these medicines. You know, I said I was more in a recreational fashion. When I sat with ayahuasca, everything changed. It changed the way that I understood these molecules to work, that they could be much more than a fun and interesting experience, to more of a transformational, healing, profound, infinite experience. And so, you know, like my head was set on fire and I was looking for water. That's how thirsty I was to understand this whole infinite web of consciousness, if you will. And so that's kind of really where my path with medicines began. And so after ayahuasca, I worked with many different medicines. I, you know, sat with different teachers, traveled the world. And, you know, I didn't start serving medicine until about 4 years ago. You know, with Cambo first, I always have an interesting story to tell here because, you know, when I sat with ayahuasca, I knew, okay, this is the path that I want to walk. I want to serve medicines. I don't know what my medicines are going to be. I'm not attached to what that's going to look like. Mm-hmm. And I know they'll find me in the right timing. And so my first kind of role of stepping into facilitation came with Cambo when, you know, I found myself in Costa Rica, and in Costa Rica, there was this pretty extensive, intensive retreat that I was sitting in with many different medicines. And one of the medicines in that retreat was Cambo. It was three back-to-back days of it. And I was really not looking forward to it. I always kind of say that, you know, people who look forward to Cambo are kind of one of a kind people. And I was not one of those people. It was profound. It was intense. I thought I was going to die, to be honest with you. But I went into that experience with a health condition, a really intense bladder condition that affected me throughout my whole life for like probably 5 years before that experience, really intensely, to the point where I was, you know, in and out of the washroom every 5 to 10 minutes. And while that doesn't sound that intense, it really is, because, you know, you can't go out for dinner with your friends without constantly being up and down from the table. You can't have a good night's sleep. And that really just kind of carries on into your day. So after these Cambo sessions, the three back-to-back ones that I had, it completely cured it. And I was like, my jaw was dropped really to the floor. And I decided I want to learn everything about this medicine. I want to serve it. And so that's what I did, is I really just kind of started studying from different people. I studied with the IAKP, started serving it. And then just after that, actually, I think it was at that same retreat that I sat with five for the first time. And it was really crazy, because stepping into my 5-MeO experience, you know, like so many of us, We are trying to figure out who we are. We're trying to figure out what the point of this existence is. And, you know, for myself, it kind of felt at that time in my life where I was almost like on this hamster wheel. And these psychedelics were giving me a taste and understanding into different dimensions of myself, but I wasn't getting the full picture. I wasn't getting the full understanding. And in this 5-MeO experience, I got to really experience the full magnitude of unconditional love, which is not something I ever experienced in my experience of life. And, you know, previous and prior to that, I had dealt with depression a lot, specifically in my younger years, around 13. And, you know, I think because it was such a profound depression that I experienced, it kind of popped up at different times in my life, kind of asking me to address it and to look at the shadows coming up. And I didn't have the tools to do that. And so it was kind of this weaving in and out of my life of, you know, spikes of sadness and, you know, normal feelings of being, and then back to the spikes of sadness. And so in this experience where I got to feel unconditional love, truly, where I was completely held and I was home, it shifted everything for me. I was able to start loving myself in a way that I had never been able to. I came out of that experience completely changed, and not only love myself, but I was able to love everyone outside of myself with such a passion. And, you know, they always say, like, it starts with ourselves. We can't love anybody else unless we love ourselves. So that's really where it started from. And, you know, why I started wanting to work with 5-MeO is because it really did change me, in the way of, like, you know, have you seen those pictures of the James Webb telescope pictures yet?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. They're phenomenal. And so, just getting to see that macrocosmic view of what's really out there, I kind of liken that to the 5-MeO experience. You know, normally we're in a very microcosmic view. We only get to have our understanding of our own individual experience, of the suffering that's in our experience, and this separation that, you know, all of us feel because we're having individual experiences. But then suddenly when we get to, you know, see pictures, for example, from the James Webb telescope, our understanding and our perspective becomes so much bigger. Or I imagine, you know, an astronaut who gets to leave Earth and look at Earth from Mars or something like that would have a wider perspective. 5-MeO is very much like that, where our perspective is completely widened to the infinite level. And not only do we get to see that macrocosmic level of, you know, what the infinite nature of being really is, we get to understand that we are not separate from it. We are it, and so is everything else. And so that's really where my passion for this medicine came, because I was able to love myself. I was able to love others. I was able to see the world in a different way and really understand the complexity and the beauty and just, yeah, the beauty in being present with every moment. And so after that experience, I really just tried to learn as much as I possibly could. I, you know, watched documentaries, I listened to podcasts, I reached out to people in the community. You know, actually, Martin, you were one of the first people that I saw your stuff online, as you are a pioneer in this space. Yeah, I got to learn a lot from you just watching the stuff that you've been putting out, and, you know, my partner as well. And so I did 3 trainings with 5-MeO, and this actually kind of leads into, you know, when we'll talk about the whys of why 5-MeO DMT information and vital education got rolled out. You know, I did 3 separate trainings, and the reason being was, you know, after I learned so much about this medicine, as much as I could online and through books and everything, I felt like I was ready to really take that leap and start facilitating. And I did a training. It was 6 days. Oh my goodness. I learned nothing. I learned nothing. And, you know, I was meant to feel confident and comfortable to go out into the world to serve the world's most powerful medicine. And I did not feel that way whatsoever. And I'm really grateful that I had the inner compass to be able to realize that I didn't have the tools necessary. I think that if my ego wanted to get in the way there and say that that wasn't true and that I did have the tools, it definitely could have. But I'm happy that the ego wasn't in the way at that moment and was like, hey, hey, do you know what you're walking into? You know, this isn't safe. This isn't something to be approaching lightly. You need to approach this medicine with reverence and responsibility. And so, you know, from that point, I reached out to my partner, who you know, Joelle Breer. Mm-hmm. We weren't actually partners at this time yet. And, you know, it was perfect timing. It was actually perfect timing. I finished my training. They needed an assistant for their retreats out where they were holding retreats. And I came and assisted, and I got to experience what it was actually like to serve medicine in a space that was, you know, with integrity, with preparation, with integration, because my first training didn't have any of that. I learned nothing about preparation. I learned nothing about integration. And so I really started to get an understanding of what a proper container was. And yeah, you know, now I'm here. I've finished three trainings. I'm feeling finally like I have the tool set to be able to serve this medicine. And, you know, that's kind of where Five was birthed, is, you know, wanting people who are coming to sit with this medicine to have everything that they need to feel safe, to really understand what 5-MeO-DMT is, to understand what preparation is, to understand what integration is. And yeah, that's a little bit about my story there.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Victoria. And actually, I just want to add for everybody listening that you're actually currently on vacation with Joelle. And so I want to publicly thank you here on the podcast for taking time out of your vacation to share of yourself and to share of all the things that you're developing around 5-MeO. So I meant to say that earlier on, but just thank you so much for taking this time. And I just want to commend you for being very articulate in kind of going through what your process was. And I'd like to circle back around to just a couple things here. And first, I would just kind of comment that it's interesting that your story is kind of similar to a lot of people's stories, in the sense that, you know, most of us start out with psychedelics and some kind of, I don't know if I should say most of us, but a lot of people start out in some kind of recreational context of, oh, I just want to try these out, and, oh, that's interesting, this is kind of fun, and maybe it's a little strange. And for a lot of people, I think it is when they finally get to ayahuasca, that becomes a big transformative event for a lot of people, because that's certainly when you're hitting, I mean, ayahuasca can be fun, it can be very pleasant, but as probably we all know, it can be really demanding. And so that can really shift things for people, because it's so intense and it's so physical and it's so powerful that becomes sort of a defining factor for a lot of people, of shifting from recreational curiosity to like, whoa, this is, you know, there's something really here. And then this one point that I was hoping you might say a little bit more about, and I think, again, you articulated this very well, but I'm just kind of curious if you'd like to expand on it. That first experience you had with 5-MeO, where you describe yourself as experiencing just pure unconditional love for the first time, and that really gave you the ability to, first of all, love yourself and then love all the expressions that are outside of the self and others. And this is really what I see as just the pure beauty of 5-MeO, that it does have this capacity to take people all the way into this, just this pure sense of unconditional love, which, you know, sometimes people might drink ayahuasca for years and never have that experience. But even with 5-MeO, it's not something that everybody gets right away. It being so impactful on you, and obviously this is something that a lot of people are looking for with their experience with 5-MeO, I'm just curious if there's anything that you would want to say around this, given, again, that many people are looking for that. For me, that it was my first full experience of 5-MeO-DMT was just like, oh my God, it's all love, and it's all the self. Look at that. Amazing. But I hadn't suffered from depression or any kind of self-loathing. You know, this was just, so it didn't hit me in quite the same way, because I hadn't been through some of these darker aspects that you've described. But given that everybody wants this, but not everybody gets there, at least not right away. Sometimes it takes a bit of work. I'm just wondering if there's more that you would want to say about sort of the hopes and ambitions that people might have around this experience of unconditional love.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, it is something that people come into the experience hoping for, is having this, you know, very non-dual experience where there's the bliss and there's the love. But like you mentioned, we don't always get that. And it can be difficult and challenging for people to accept if they go in with these kind of goals or these hopes. You know, and that's something that we always like to prep people for, is we get what we need. And that can be also hard to hear, especially if it does end up being a challenging experience.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it's almost like we need to work through some of our shadows and our darkness, and, you know, really get in there before we can have that loving, blissful experience. And, you know, not if we don't get that blissful, loving experience, just kind of starting by opening up ourselves beforehand and saying that we're allowing anything that the universe or God or consciousness, whatever name we want to give it, is, you know, gifting us, that it's meant to be for us, and that it's okay. And, you know, yeah, just being okay with it. And, you know, it's really interesting. I use this geography, Joseph Campbell's Hero's Journey, with people as they're coming to work with this medicine, as, you know, this is a very mystical, religious, beyond the mind type experience. And as a facilitator, it's important to be able to help people to, through, and from the experience. And we need some kind of geography to do this. And, you know, not everybody's going to be coming from a Buddhist background or a yogic background, but we could all come through from the Joseph Campbell's lens. You know, it really works for everybody. So that's what I use. And as we're kind of going through the different stages that people can hit, you know, once we leave that ordinary realm and we move into that mystical, supernatural, etheric realm, if you will, all those different kind of checkpoints that we can hit, you know, as I'm explaining them in satsangs, in retreat setting, oftentimes people are like, okay, I need to, and I want to get to that full peak experience, that gnosis, that knowledge through experience, that true awakening. And we always like to say, there is medicine at every level of this experience. It doesn't really matter if you give somebody a big giant dose or you give someone a small dose. They are usually just as potent and profound as the bigger doses. And, you know, a lot of the times we can get a lot more work done in the smaller doses as well, because we are still present of self in the smaller doses, but we are still tuned in and tapped into that mystical realm. So even though we may want to find ourselves in this blissful state, sometimes what we need is to, you know, just really get into the shadows and do the work and allow the medicine to move a catharsis through us, to allow us to get into deeper levels of ourselves, so that one day we can experience that love and be open to it when the time is right.
Yeah. Boy, and, you know, I'm just listening to you here and thinking, like, wow, if we had done this interview before the Facilitating 5-MeO book came out, I really would have asked you, like, oh, can I transcribe this and put this in the book? Because this is so great. But just something I want to touch on here is that your contribution in the book is titled On the Responsibilities of Those Serving 5-MeO. And I think that you present kind of an interesting perspective on this, in the sense that you did this 6-day training and then came out of that feeling like, wow, I am not prepared to serve this at all. And this is something that kind of comes up sometimes here on the podcast, in the sense of people getting negative examples, you know, going through some kind of training or some kind of retreat and then coming out of that feeling like, okay, that's definitely not the way I want to do it, or I feel that that is not prepared me. And I think that that's a really valuable mm-hmm. experience, in that, you know, sometimes people might say, well, you have to go out and get training, or they might say, you know, just a few days training, that's not enough, but they might not actually have the experience. But you're coming from a place of actually having done this. So I'm curious if you could talk a little bit more about, because this is something that's a little bit kind of prevalent now, the idea of having just a weekend training or maybe just a week, and now suddenly the idea that you're now qualified. So if you maybe you could tell us a little bit more about that experience, and like you mentioned that it didn't really focus on preparation, didn't really focus on integration, but maybe if you could expand on that a little bit more and tell us what you really felt was lacking. And it's not that we need to be criticizing anyone or the people running the programs, but just what you personally felt, where you still needed training, still needed support, still needed education. And how that has inspired pretty much everything that you're doing afterwards. And then we can get into all of these other areas of work.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, you know, facilitation isn't just holding a pipe, because anybody can do that, anybody. And, you know, I think that it can be, after we have an experience with this medicine, because it is so profound and impactful, it is the mystical experience, there can be this attachment within our minds of, wow, that was it. That was everything I've ever been looking for. I'm going to serve this. And that's that. And, you know, there's no problem with having this feeling within our hearts that we want to serve it, but we with how we are approaching this work and this medicine, because it's not just something that we can walk into and say, yay, like I'm a facilitator or a shaman. This is people's lives. This is people's, you know, their hearts and their souls and their traumas that they're coming to the table with. And, you know, just to kind of preface, now that the psychedelic renaissance is among us, you know, the demographic and people that we're seeing coming to work with this medicine has drastically shifted. It was mostly spiritual seekers, I would say, when I first started working with this medicine. And now it's mostly people suffering. It's mostly people with like treatment-resistant depression. And that is a huge responsibility for someone to do a two-day or six-day or two-week training and then step up to the plate with somebody who has, you know, encountered things like, you know, incest growing up and, you know, deaths in the family, suicides and things like that. So we're dealing with a lot here, and we need to really be mindful of the tool sets that we're walking into this with and how much work we're doing within ourselves, because we can't serve this medicine unless we really understand it. And this is a medicine that can't be understood. So we need to do our best to not just hold a pipe for somebody, but to give them everything they need, like I said, to get us to, through, and from the experience. That means, you know, psychologically, of course, psychologically and medically screening someone first. And that's something that I did not get in my first training. I, you know, the training finished and I asked, I'm like, you know, there's got to be contraindications with this medicine. What are they? Oh, just do the same thing you do with Cambo, she said to me. And I'm like, that is not a sufficient answer for me. I am probably going to kill somebody if that's what I do. And so that was a big alarm flag for me. I asked about preparation, and, you know, she said, have a phone call and just feel into your intuition if this is right for this person, and really just be a gatekeeper. If you don't want the person to sit with medicine, you don't feel it's right in your heart, just don't. And that also was a red alarm bell for me. You know, that didn't make any sense to me. So, you know, the way that we prepare now is, you know, there's a psychological and medical screening form just to make sure the person is safe. We work with salivary swabs as well, you know, just to give us some extra insurance to make sure that people are, you know, well. And what those really do is, before somebody comes to sit with us in medicine, this salivary swab gets mailed to your house. You swab your mouth, you send it back to the lab, and this lab can let us know if you have a propensity towards serotonin syndrome, which will give us the information we need to know if this person, you know, needs less medicine or more medicine. It also lets us know if somebody's close to a psychotic break, which is extremely helpful. And so, you know, that's a really big important part of preparation there. And then also really getting to know the person, because this medicine, the most important thing is to feel safe, is to feel safe enough to surrender to the experience. Because if you do not feel safe to surrender to the experience, what can happen is it can become challenging, because the mind says in the experience, I'm dying. And if the mind actually thinks it's dying, the mind will start to fight the experience with everything it has because it wants to survive. And then, you know, what can happen is it can become extremely dynamic. We see, you know, experiences like exorcisms, which we don't really see in our with our participants. I would say it's very minimal, maybe 5% of people get dynamic, and we think and we feel that this has to do with preparation. So there's, you know, multiple calls beforehand with the peoples, just to kind of feel into their processes, feel into what kind of relationship people have with control. You know, if somebody, for example, has an intense relationship, for example, with OCD or something like that, and this might be a challenging experience because these are types of people who have a difficulty letting go of control. And maybe somebody who has an aversion to spirituality, that might be a challenging experience. So we really need to get into why that aversion is there and if this is the right medicine for them. So that's kind of preparation. Integration, you know, that is the key to making this stick. So with 5-MeO-DMT, we always like to let people know integration is one of the most important facets to this medicine because, you know, with other psychedelics and other experiences, there's still an I present within the self, and we go on a visionary experience. And in that visionary experience, say with, you know, psilocybin or ayahuasca, it's many hours of content. We may visit our ancestors, entities may come to us, you know, whatever, past lives. And so we have a lot of content to work with in the integration process, a lot of things to think about, which makes the integration process a lot easier. With 5-MeO-DMT, because we are not of self, especially in that peak experience, there's not a lot of content to bring back. You know, we don't see a lot of people coming out of the experience saying, you know, I saw this, anything. It's maybe they'll see like a few colors, but for the most part, it's, you know, bright white light or a black hollow void, and it's more of a feeling. So if you come out of the experience with more of a feeling and less content to actually bring out with you, it can make the integration process very difficult. And, you know, that's why we kind of force people to take integration with us. You know, it's included in people's it's included in the retreat package. They get 4 integration sessions over the course of a month, so they pretty much have to. And because there's no content, there's not a lot of content to pull out of the 5 experience. If you are not kind of pushed into doing integration, it can be a bit of a challenge to overcome, especially getting back into your everyday life of, you know, making the time and the space. And, you know, it really is, the jewels really do come through the integration process. What we put in is what we get out. And it's kind of like, I have this analogy, I call it the boyfriend or the girlfriend analogy. If we have a partner within our lives that we are not giving time and energy to, we're not, you know, taking phone calls with them, we're not going on dates, they're going to disappear and they're going to leave our lives. But when we really put our energy and our time into it and we nurture that relationship, it's going to grow and it's going to become something beautiful. And the 5-MeO experience is just like that. We have this profound channel within us that is blasted open, and it's always been there, but it's blasted open to the point where we get to understand and be with it now. And the more love and energy and relationship that we put into it, the more that it expands within us. And through that expansion, we have an ability to tap into the different dimensions of being within our experience afterwards, which brings us, you know, signs, symbols, synchronicities, an ability to follow the flow in our everyday regular life towards our dharmas. And, you know, that's where we really get the juice, is in that integration, if we choose to engage it. And so, you know, kind of to answer your question, what is lacking in these, personally in the training that I had beforehand, 2 of the ones prior to the one that I have with my partner, no preparation, no integration, no medical screening, no framework really of being able to get people through their experiences. And yeah, I'm just so grateful that there's a community out there that, you know, are people like yourself, like my partner, tons of people out there that have more knowledge than I do and have been able to be there to teach me and guide me along my way. Which actually, just to preface, I'm thinking about you, what you were saying about the facilitation book that you just put out and my piece in it. And, you know, the piece was really focused around mentorship. And, you know, if we look at ayahuasca or we look at peyote or you know, any of those types of medicines that have a long lineage, there's always been shamans, curanderos, different teachers that have been teaching those who come after them how to hold this medicine and how to guide those coming to sit with the medicine. And with 5-MeO-DMT, we haven't had that. It's been a new medicine. And I think it's all perfect the way that it is. And it was meant to come out in this way. But we are at a time now where we can learn from our mistakes. We can learn from what hasn't been working for people. And we can come together as a community to see what is working for people and how to best serve the community. Because I feel if we really come together, this medicine can and will change the world. And so that was really why 5 was birthed.
Oh, well, Victoria, I just feel I want to commend you again on just your articulation of all of these issues, that it's clear that you've really dived all the way into this. You've really absorbed a lot. You've really contemplated a lot about all of this, and you're looking at all the different facets of it. And even just what you shared, I think, is really a great argument for, you know, this is something that I see pop up from time to time as people complaining, like, why are people charging all this money for this? And, you know, everybody who serves medicine, that they should be doing it for free. And I'm just hearing about, well, we've got the medical screening, we've got all this preparation work, then we've got the actual conscientious serving of the medicine, then we've got all the integration work, and just all the time and energy and effort that goes into all of this. And the idea that anybody out there would say, well, you should be doing this for free, rather than you should be making a living from how much time and energy and education you have invested in yourself and cultivated within yourself this ability to articulate all of this. I mean, I guess I'm kind of excited talking to you because you know, you're quite a bit younger than I am. So, you know, you kind of are representing sort of the next generation. And it's exciting to be able to talk with a young person like yourself. Because, I mean, as you know, when I was first introduced to 5-MeO-DMT, there was zero cultural dialogue around it. There were no examples that I could look to in any way, shape, or form. And nobody was even talking about it. So it was so brand new. And now that this has been cultivated over the past 15 years or so, and there's so much more interest and knowledge and conversation around it, that to have someone like yourself who is clearly hitting all the important points and articulating it all so well, it's exciting for me to be able, it gives me the feeling of, in a sense, kind of trust that, okay, I can really trust the next generation who is going to be building on this, that it's going in a good way. And so it fills my heart with joy and satisfaction just to have this conversation with you. So it's...
Thank you for saying that, brother. That feels really good. I really appreciate hearing that from you, especially, you know, you're somebody that I've looked up to in the space for so long. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So, wow. Let's get into all the different facets now. So I think we've got the background, we've got the context. So we have these different elements now of the Kavalya Collective. We've got the 5 education website. We've got the Tandava retreats. I'm just curious, what's the timeline for all of these? You seem like you're a pretty dynamic, pretty active person. So was it like, oh, let's develop all of these at once, or what came first? You know, how did these dominoes fall and set up within your own personal timeline of jumping into this world with so much passion and also integrity? Like, where did you start then?
So Kavalya Collective is an umbrella company, and that was started by my partner, Joel Briere, and his baby was really retreats before I even was working with this medicine. He was working with it, and he'd been working with retreats a lot, started doing retreats all over the world, and developed Tandava retreats. And, you know, so that was really his baby, and I got lucky enough to step into that with him. And, you know, my brainchild that came afterwards was 5. So while him and I were hosting retreats together and really getting into the good work, I was having a lot of interesting experiences coming up for me with five. And, how it all kind of started was a lot of different friends, a lot of different sisters and brothers coming to me with experiences that were not serving the public or the collective, if you will. And I really wanted to do something about it, but I didn't know how. I didn't know what could be done. And so, these experiences were just coming in and out of my field. And it wasn't until, I think it all happened in 1 week. I think three people reached out to me, and one person was saying that they had been served, and the person who had been served was contemplating suicide because their experience was so big and they had no one there to kind of support that person. These pieces were falling for them. Another sister connected with me, and she had this facilitator who had never, I don't know if I want to call him a facilitator, because it was a friend of hers who had started facilitating, who had never sat with the medicine, and her reasoning was that she had access to the medicine, and she knew that she could make good money from the medicine, so she was going to start serving it. And the sister of mine, she's like, I'm gonna go stay with this woman. Do you think it's a good idea? And I was like, absolutely not. I definitely don't think that's a good idea. Do you mind putting me in touch with her? I would love to have a conversation with her and just, talk about this medicine and, some of the crazy things that I've seen and heard in the space. And so my partner and I had a conversation for about an hour and a half with this girl, and, kind of explained the things that we've seen. And it broke my heart, because even though we were sharing all of these deep things, dangers and experiences that we've had, that we've heard of, she didn't hear any of it. And she was still going to serve anyway. And I knew that walking away from that phone call, somebody was going to get hurt in some way, shape, or form, whether, psychologically, physically, maybe someone will die and there's nothing I can do about it. And I remember having nightmares that night. I woke up and I was just in the shower, like, there's literally nothing I can do about this. And so that's when five was birthed, was when I was in the shower. And I was like, we can't stop everybody who is, out there who could possibly harm someone. But what we can do is arm people who are ready to come and work with this medicine with the proper tool sets and understandings of what 5-MeO is, what kind of red flags to look out for, how to kind of vet your facilitators, challenges, blissful experiences, absolutely everything. And that's why 5, if you head to the website, it's 30 pages. It's 30 pages of everything and anything you could ever need to know about 5-MeO. And it's coming from everybody in the community, not just myself, not just my partner. It is a space made by community for community, with all of the knowledge that's been, put together, that's been experienced from Martin people like yourself, Rack Rosam, Joel Breer. Like, there's so many beautiful minds that went into this. And yeah, that's really what we wanted to do. We wanted to put together a space where it didn't matter if it was somebody who was a first-time sitter with this medicine, to an avid psychonaut of this medicine, to a facilitator who maybe just started working with this medicine and needs some support, or somebody looking to facilitate this medicine who would like support. Anybody who is interested in this medicine in any capacity or any fashion can head to this website and learn everything they need to know if this is the right medicine for them and how to approach it. And so that's kind of how the pieces fell there. It was, the umbrella company Cavalli Collective was formed, Tandava Retreats was revolving and happening, and as we were doing retreats, five has been birthed and just recently got launched.
Yeah, so I've been mentioning the website here on the podcast since you guys launched it, but let's tell the audience
Cool.
where they can find that specifically.
Absolutely, yeah. So this website is called 5, which stands for 5-MeO DMT Information and Vital Education, and you can find it at 5, spelled FIVE dash MEO dot education. And, like I said, this is really just a resource hub for community by community for anybody interested in 5-MeO DMT. And, this is actually an open call for anybody in the community who would like to participate in any way, shape, or form on the platform. If you have any resources that you feel would be of benefit to the community, we would love to share them. If you're a facilitator operating in spaces where not illegal, we would love to vet you and to host you. If you're a retreat center, if you have essays, if you have books, podcasts, anything that you feel would be a good kind of contribution to the community, this space is open. And yeah, we just really look forward to seeing what Five can do for people, and really hoping that it ushers in a really powerful harm reduction in the space.
Yeah, well, it sounds like kind of moving forward that if you guys maintain this website, that it might become like the world's repository of information around 5-MeO. It sounds like it really has the potential to be kind of a central hub, covering so many different aspects, and sounds like it is built specifically for a very broad audience, from people who are just looking to get information, people who are curious, people who are looking for facilitating, looking for retreats, places where people can share their knowledge, share their wisdom, share their experiences, share their resources, and bring it all together in one convenient location. I mean, this is what I love about the modern world and the internet, that there's a lot that's screwy on the internet, but it really is fantastic where we can actually bring in the entire world, in a sense, and coalesce this information together. I mean, it's just, there's so much potential there for collaboration and for education that it's exciting. And just, you guys are just pioneers in putting this together. So congratulations. Yeah. How many hours did it take to, and maybe you don't even know, probably just months and days, you know, of work to put
a
this
year
together.
And a half.
But it's a big responsibility.
Yeah. It took a year and a half and, you know, a lot of full days in that year and a half. So, but it was all worth it. And I'm super excited about it. And yeah, thank you so much for saying that.
Yeah. I'm curious, are you like keeping track of metrics? Are you looking at like how often it's being visited? This is something that I personally don't ever do. You know, when I go and I upload my podcast every week, that I automatically like get the numbers and see what my ranking is and how many plays, you know, so I can't avoid that. But other than that, I'm not the kind of person that kind of like digs into like how many people have visited my website today or anything like that. So I just kind of fly by night in that sense, but I'm curious, are you guys keeping track of that? Are you looking at that? Do you have any idea, or are you like me and just like, okay, well, I put it out there and whatever happens, happens. I'm just curious.
I'm totally like you. Yeah. Whatever happens, happens. It's out there for people. We do have on the main page, so it's actually hosted by WordPress, and on the main page, when you log in, it actually gives you your metrics. So I have seen them, without needing to look for them. And, you know, some days there's like 500 people on the website, and it's crazy. I can't believe that. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that is definitely impressive. Well, I hope it brings people to a well-educated place. And I think this is something that we are very much in alignment on, that, you know, ever since I first encountered 5-MeO, that my first, rather than, you know, oh, I want to serve this to everyone, was I want to tell everyone about this, and I want to educate people about what this is and what the potentials are and also what the pitfalls are and just why this is so unique. So I very much took on this role of, I'm going to educate people. I'm going to tell people about it. And that I think that with 5-MeO, I think with all psychedelics, I think that having prior education is important. I think there can be a value to, oh, I want to go in kind of a tabula rasa. I don't want to know anything, so that, you know, I'm not preconditioned by any prior information. But especially when it comes to 5-MeO, I mean, it's just so monumental that my position has always been, that's the wrong way to approach it. That please have some kind of understanding of what you're potentially getting into, for all the reasons that you talk about, that it can be destabilizing. It is monumental. There's not a lot of content. It's a lot of feeling. It's a lot of energy. And being able to integrate that and make sense of that can be very, very challenging. And especially when we see, you know, issues of like reactivations and things like that, that, you know, when people If they don't know about that ahead of time, then when it starts happening to them, they're even more terrified. And so this is where it's just like, look, just let's have some basic education around this. And then also the idea of preparation and integration, these two very important elements that I think are really being emphasized now, I think is just very, very significant around any kind of work in the psychedelic space, but so much so with 5-MeO, because it, again, it's just so incredibly monumental. And I know that there are still listeners to this podcast that they've never had a chance to experience it themselves, but I'll leave it up to you whether you would agree with me or not. But I would just say, look, if you haven't experienced this, you really literally do not have a clue. You have no idea what we're really talking about. And once you've had the experience, then it's like, okay, I understand what these words are referencing. But prior to the experience, we're just giving words. And so we can't mm-hmm. really understand it. And even, oh my God, like you mentioned that this woman serving it without having even experienced it herself. I mean, that's just, it's unfathomable. Yeah. It's just not the way to go about it.
Yeah, absolutely not. It's some big medicine, and we really need to approach it responsibly. And yeah, you really said it, that word destabilizing. It can be destabilizing. You know, while we hear about all of these beautiful, blissful, transformational experiences that people have, you know, there can be extremely destabilizing experiences. So it's really important to understand that this medicine can take us there, especially if it gets challenging in the experience and a lot of stuff comes up. We always kind of liken it to, you know, throwing the hand grenade into the lake of the subconscious mind, and all these things that got suppressed and really stuffed down all of our lives are starting to come up to be looked at, because we have a new perspective and understanding of looking at it and different tools to work with it. So if we're in our integration process and we're choosing, you know, not to integrate, and these things are coming up, be extremely destabilizing. Or, you know, another thing to kind of mention, we call it the falling away, where we have an experience with 5-MeO-DMT, and it is that God frequency, if you want to call it that. And even though we come off of the mat from the experience and we go back into our everyday regular life, we are still vibrating at that frequency. There is something inherently changed within us. And when we come back into our lives, oftentimes the things in our lives that fit us before the experience don't fit us anymore. And, you know, if they're falling away, they probably weren't serving us anymore. But it can be very destabilizing, because, for example, if you have a huge falling away, everything can fall away. That's what happened to me. My first experience with this medicine, everything shifted and changed for me. I went back home after integrating in Costa Rica for a month, having the most beautiful time in my life. I came back to a city, a jungle gym, and I went in my room and did not identify with any of my clothes. I got rid, you know, donated all of my clothes. I sold my sports car. I was in fitness competitions. I was like, this is ridiculous. Why am I doing this to myself? I stopped fitness competitions. I couldn't even, it was so interesting. I was so, not identified to my individual ego anymore, that, you know, at that time when I was in fitness competitions, yes, I quit, but I was still going to the gym, and I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror exercising. I had to look away or look down, because I didn't want to identify with that person who was an overachiever of like needing to look or be a certain way. I wanted to be in my own space. So everything was shifting about me. You know, my friends, I stopped being friends with a lot of the friends in my friend group, because I realized they weren't serving me anymore. I moved. There's so much to it. But if you are not already understanding that that can come up, and you don't have anybody to support you as a support system, it can be like, wow, if all of these things that were me are not me anymore, then who am I? And if I don't know who I am, and I have no one around me to really be with me in this process, any integration specialist or, you know, someone else who's been through this, it can be yeah, like you said, Martin, destabilizing. So just really understanding all of the different minutiae that can come up from this experience and having a facilitator that can go over all of these things with you.
Yeah.
That's really important.
Pretty much what you just shared right there from your own personal story and personal experience is exactly why anyone who is serving 5-MeO must have their own experience with it for everything that you just described there. Because if you don't have a personal understanding of the potential, the transformative potential, and even, as you say, kind of carrying this God frequency, which, you know, most other psychedelics and entheogens, they just don't quite get there, at least not in the way that 5-MeO does, that it's so unique, it's so transformative, that if you don't have personal experience with that and learning how to navigate your life from this new frequency, that how could you ever possibly serve this to anybody else and be of support for the aftermath that's going to arise mm-hmm. for them? Because there will be an aftermath. And I mean, I know that word kind of has like negative connotations, but just the idea that this is going to make an impact. This is not just going to be, oh, that was curious, or that was an interesting event, and you move on with your life. It's this, oh my God, who am I now? Oh my God, what do I do yeah. now? What have I been doing with my life? Where do I want to focus my attention? Where do I want to direct my energy? And that kind of that truth serum element of 5-MeO, that, you know, when we go all the way into unity and unconditional love, it just presents itself as overwhelmingly, unquestionably true. And then when we fall back into the ego, into our projections and our lies and the ways that we hide and the ways that we manipulate ourselves and others, that it feels incongruous with that unconditional openness and love and just that authentic feeling of truth. And so it creates this catalyst of people wanting to find more truth and authenticity in themselves and in their lives. And for many people, that does mean radical changes are on the mm-hmm. horizon for them. And just like you've described for yourself. And so that's, again, this is where having education and preparation is so important, that this is not just something that you get up and walk away from and go back into how everything was before.
Absolutely not.
There's this potential for radical change. And, you know, for myself, the radical change actually came before I had 5-MeO. And that's something that I attribute to why I felt it was so easy for me to surrender in that first experience, because it's like I was ready, and I feel very fortunate that I was ready in that sense, and that it didn't require in that sense that I make a lot of radical changes to my life, because it was the radical changes that brought me to the 5-MeO in the first place. But for many people, it is then this deconstruction that happens afterwards and this rebuilding, which is not to say that from my first experience, like all the pieces fell into place, because it set off a whole new process of transformation. But it's just my way of saying it's major. Please, everyone, educate yourselves. And as you say, going back to something that you mentioned earlier, this idea of really, it's so important to be with people that you trust in a place that you feel safe and a place that you feel that you can really be vulnerable and go through what you need to go through. And accepting that whatever this medicine brings to you is actually what you have to work with, and it's actually what you need. And it might not be that bliss, it might not be that unconditional love that you're really hoping for. It might be really difficult, or it might just be really strange. But that's having the trust that you are putting yourself in somebody else's hands who knows what they're doing and can care for you, can help you navigate, is just so vital. So again, I applaud all the work that you're doing in this area, because it's really necessary. I would like to now shift and let's talk about Tandava retreats and kind of the process of putting together the retreat. I know that's something that you and Joelle spent a lot of time working on, developing the property and everything. So tell us about it, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you wanting to know more about the process for a participant, or just the center itself?
Well, let's just start with the center itself and the process of putting that together, and then we can talk about how people can participate. But I want to hear about the retreat first.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, when we first came to Mexico, we were living in this little villa, and we were just doing privates. We would have have people coming for their retreats, but it'd just be one person at a time, and really focusing on that individualized container. And you know, things started to get more busy, and we needed more space, so we found a space that was perfect, and it was such a beautiful find when we did find it, because this space, when we walked into the property, it had a chapel. So the space used to be used for the divine union of marriage. People would rent it out, they'd have their whole wedding ceremony there, and the families would stay on property. And so what we ended up doing was converting the chapel to our temple space, where people are having a completely different union of another kind. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's beautiful. We've got a beautiful temple on the property. We've got a Turkish steam sauna that we had specially constructed, full length pool, ginormous hot tub. It was actually a children's pool that we converted into a hot tub, so you can fit like 20 people in it, which is rocks. And yeah, it's a beautiful place, and it's in Tepoztlán, Mexico. So for those listening, Tepoztlán, Mexico is this beautiful little spiritual hotspot. They call it the Sedona of Mexico, and it's bowled 360 degrees around this tiny town by these incredible mountains. And these mountains have so many different stories. The mountains are filled with copper. You know, we're number 7th in the world for UFO activity, just to kind of preface the spiritual mystical element to this town. And yeah, we have a beautiful look around the whole entire center at all these mountains, and it's just a really conducive space for healing. And so the way that we work at the center is we take anywhere from 1 to 5 people at one time for their retreats, and we do what's kind of called a private hybrid model. And so people are coming for, you know, private medicine sessions, private neurofeedback sessions, private integration sessions, but we still want people to get that group feel, because a lot of healing can happen within the group as well. So there's also group integration sessions, group meditation, breath work, yoga, and, you know, group excursions into the mountains and into town for shopping trips and stuff like that. But we find it to just be a really powerful way with working with people, especially people who, like we said, are coming from, you know, traumatic backgrounds, treatment-resistant depression. Getting to have that one-on-one experience with facilitator and participant, and getting really deep into the process, but then still having the support of the group around them. And yeah, it's been a really great way to work with people.
Yeah, and has the Bridging Heaven event, has that taken place already? Or is that coming up?
Yeah. So yeah, just to kind of let everybody know. So we have what I would just describe, these retreats, they're reoccurring. They happen every single month, but we do have special retreats that we host throughout the year annually or biannually. And like Martin was just saying, there we just had the Bridging Heavens one, which was with Joel Briere, Rap Rizam, Quilly, and Eugene. And it was amazing. There was such a beautiful collection of souls that came, and I believe they're going to be doing it. So keep your eyes peeled on the Tandava website if you are curious about going in for some deep meditation and silence with this beautiful molecule. We also have special retreats like women's retreats. We just did a women's retreat last month. It was beautiful. We're going to be doing Tantra women's retreats. And yeah, there's a whole kind of list of special retreats that we have on the horizon. So keep your eyes peeled on the site there.
Yeah. And what's the website for that again?
Tandava.com, or sorry, TandavaRetreats.com.
Okay, so TANDAVA, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, TandavaRetreats.com. Wow.
Exactly.
Well, we've really covered a lot of territory here. So if you don't mind me asking, how's vacation going? How is it giving yourself some time? And Joelle, both of you guys, giving yourselves some much-needed rest, recreation, relaxation. How's that going for you guys?
Feels so good. It feels so good. Yeah, we have a beautiful ocean. I'm actually looking at the ocean right now, and there's a palm tree swaying in the wind, and it's just, yeah, it's beautiful. You know, holding these retreats are our favorite thing in the world to do, because like I said, we really feel that this medicine can change the world. But it is also, as you know, Martin, so important for us to fill our own cups up, especially if we're, you know, really being there for people, because compassion fatigue is a real thing, and we want to always show up in the best way possible, being as being of service for people. So yeah, we always got to take little vacations for ourselves and fill our cups up so we can be there for others.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so important that burnout is a real thing, and it's interesting, especially with 5-MeO, where there is this, it fills people with such enthusiasm and wanting to change the world and wanting to share it, and that sometimes people don't take time for themselves. Like sometimes people come out of the experience and they're like, oh, I love you and I love you and I love you and I love you. And then sometimes I ask people, okay, but are you loving yourself? Like, what you got from your own experience, like, okay, if you're not loving yourself and if you're just putting your love out on everybody else, you know, that's nice for them, but you've got to take care of yourself first. That's where it really begins, and that's what gives you the resilience then to really be of service to others. That, but you've got to care for yourself, you got to love yourself. So sometimes you got to take vacation. Let's not work ourselves down into the ground and just you know, blow out. That doesn't help anybody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Victoria, I do want to let you get back to your vacation. So I'm very conscious of that because you've got a beautiful ocean there. So I want to let you get back to it. But is there anything else that you'd like to, anything that I didn't ask about that you want to share about, or anything else that you'd just like to kind of recap, or what do you think?
No, I just want to give gratitude to you for opening this space to me to be able to share my voice and share about the Five platform and everything we've got going on. I'm just so grateful for this podcast. And, you know, this is the space where people get to hear about these experiences and really feel that divine calling from within their heart to work with this medicine. And yeah, it's a really potent space. It can really create huge transformation within the world, getting to foster that divine spark in people to work with the medicine and then change themselves from the inside by healing and loving themselves, and then, you know, creating those ripples within the world to their families and their communities around them. So yeah, thank you so much for just having me on this podcast and for all of the work that you've been doing too, brother.
Oh, well, it's an absolute pleasure to have you. I'm so glad that we finally made this happen, and really looking forward to when I get to send this out into the world on the podcast. But again, you've just been you've been a great spokesperson for 5-MeO, and really have spoken to how to approach all of this with integrity and care and love. And so thank you so much, Victoria. And please do give my best and give my love to Joelle. And I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your vacation and that everything continues to blossom beautifully when you get back to your retreat center.
Awesome. Thank you so much, brother. I hope you have an awesome day.
All right. Thanks.